Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with the microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Football Podcast, where Vishal and I are still recovering from our lack of sleep over the last 2 days because it was the Champions League. This is Tariq joining you as usual with Vishal.
Hey guys.
So our sleep cycles have been upended because we have...
Just when we fixed it, you know, just when we fixed it.
Gone through four ties. Well, Vishal, let's quickly go through the ties and the results first, and then we dive into what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Business as usual at Basel.
Yeah.
Manchester City winning by 4 goals. Shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody.
Nope.
We were joking later in the night that, I mean, even if Federer were to come on and defend now, can't really help Basel.
Although, love the ruthlessness from City.
So they did a fantastic away job, more or less have
killed the game in the first 20 minutes with 3 goals.
That tie right off, and it's a huge, huge advantage on the European stage, especially for a team like City who are chasing four titles still.
Now they get to rest their team in the second leg, and because nobody's going to come and score 5 against them,
definitely not Basel.
So
again,
they can
even in the field,
easy,
even in the field, Federer in the front three.
Yep.
Moving over from there to Porto 0, Liverpool 5.
You see how the man is grinning?
We discussed in our original preview pod that on their day, Liverpool would easily outmatch Porto.
Yep.
But yesterday, this is a Porto team that was coming off a long unbeaten run. This is a Porto team that had been playing rather well, had a couple of good people going forward. This is a Porto team which Klopp repeatedly mentioned that he really respects in terms of the kind of football
they play.
Not to mention the fact that in Porto the conditions were pretty tough. It was raining, it was slippery, it was greasy. Not the greatest conditions for gegenpressing. And lastly, and historically importantly,
it was Liverpool.
Liverpool, who had lost in Portugal, had not won there for 3 decades. To go there and pull off a result like this, which we were discussing a little while earlier, that even in my best case scenario, I had penned out, let's say, a clean sheet plus 2 or maybe 3 away goals.
Yep.
5. And you could completely...
Yesterday was that Liverpool that turned up, that would have beaten any team in Europe on their given day. And this yesterday was their day, and they were absolutely clinical. On every side of the field, from the goalkeeper to the defense to the midfield to clearly the offense. So, I don't think there's any way Porto could counter them or do anything different to change the result. I think Liverpool would have won no matter what.
They were as rampant as they were in their last league game, with one crucial difference, Vishal. There was no Philippe Coutinho.
Correct. So it's all right, I think. I don't think they're missing Coutinho at all, because now Firmino has actually come to the fore while he's been doing all of this and more. While Coutinho's been there too, now they just realize that, wait, Coutinho's just as good. So it's all right, it's all good.
And immense performances again from James Milner, even Henderson to an extent.
Yep.
We slag Henderson often enough, but yesterday was an exception.
Yep.
So that should probably be that for
Liverpool
in this tie.
Yep.
Although I love how our fans have eternal optimism, because around the 88th minute of the game yesterday, somebody on my timeline tweeted, "Scenes if we when we lose 6-0 at Anfield."
God, I love the optimism.
But that's the Liverpool fandom for you. Moving on from there, Vishal.
Yeah.
A quick chat about the other game that was playing along parallelly with the Liverpool game. Real Madrid 3, PSG 1.
Yep.
Another lesson, another Spanish lesson for PSG.
Yep.
So how not to play in a knockout leg.
Yep. So I'm going to start this review with what one of PSG's own players and the goal scorer, in fact, for the night, Adrien Rabiot said. saying that it's great that we go and score 8 goals against Dijon and win 8-0 against Dijon, but the games that count are games like these, nights like this, and over, year and year, we tend to come up with the same performance and fall short in the same places. So here we are, same. I think it was there for the taking, a Madrid team which was far from their best, and all PSG had to do was turn up and use their offensive power, which they had Mbappe, they had Neymar, they had Cavani, they had Rabiot, who came up and scored, and they had Verratti. They had everything to beat this Madrid team. But I think they just got it terribly wrong yesterday. In spite of taking the lead, they just let Madrid play their game. And I'm sorry, you are not the AC Milan of the past or the UA of the current, that you have a defense to sit back against a Madrid team. Madrid team will score no matter what. Even on their worst day, a Madrid team will come back and score, and that's exactly what you did. And even worse, you let Ronaldo set his sights. Over and over again during the game, Ronaldo was taking shots which are off. Ronaldo was taking free kicks which are off. But with a player like that, the more he takes, the more closer he gets. And in the end, he came back, he scored the penalty, which was a good penalty under pressure. And then he came back and scored the second goal as well. So it was just a poor performance from a team that could have really taken this tie by the neck. But I'm not surprised, because this is a team that has no competition in France and not used to playing 90 minutes of football. And if you look
that,
at it, they,
with that intensity.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it last time during the Barca game, where they had a huge lead coming from the Paris leg. It came back
and
blew that lead.
Yeah.
Again, a tie that was there for the taking.
Yep.
A tie where they actually had it in their favour for 80% of the time.
Absolutely. And like I said, if you do not play 90 minutes, you can never take anything for granted. Madrid scored 2 goals in the 83rd and the 87th minute. And it's as simple as that, because Madrid played 90 minutes, and Madrid are clearly far better prepared for the Champions League as compared to PSG, who were just watching Madrid in the last 10 minutes, because they did not know what hit them, and that cannot be happening at this level with the amount of money you spent and the players you have. So yeah, I think PSG need to sit down and really think about it, because now it's really tough for them, because you have the task of not winning at home, but you have the task of keeping a clean sheet at home, which is going to be very difficult, because you need to win 2-0 at least.
Because otherwise, that away goal is useless.
Yep.
We've already talked about how Madrid definitely find a way to score.
Yep.
So it's going to be very hard for them to really keep them at bay.
Yeah, because
the offensive power is what will have to come to the board.
Absolutely, like nobody questions the offensive power of PSG, but one, are they going to be as wasteful as they were? Because they had enough and more chances. Neymar did turn up to a certain extent, did play decently well enough, but not half as well as his counterpart on the other team, which was Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored his 100th goal in the Champions League and then held him first. So it's a lesson to Neymar. If he wants to be the best, he's got to compete against the best and beat the best, and guess what, the best won.
Right, so, and finally, Vishal, the game that for some weird reason kept me awake past the morning after it ended, because I was just wondering how Juventus got themselves into this situation. The situation I'm talking about is that they have to score in the return leg at Wembley if they have had need to have any chance to go forward, and that is because they led 2-0 against Tottenham Hotspur in Turin within the first 10 minutes, and then somehow allowed Spurs to come back and finish the game 2-2. In fact, if anything, Spurs could actually have licked a winner.
Yep, and I do not know how Juve did not prepare for this, because there's one thing that you know about Tottenham and this Tottenham squad is they play 90 minutes, like we mentioned. They run on every inch of the grass they cover, and they are young, they are energetic, and they do not give up. And getting a 2-0 lead, you are at home. What is your business sitting back and defending against a team that you could have who had no option but to push players forward instead of playing on the counter? But you sat back and absorbed the pressure, and you have possibly.
And that's a great front line which is pushing
against. You have the deadliest striker in Europe at this point in time, and guess what happened? You came back and conceded 2 goals. And yes, I get that you haven't conceded a goal in 2018, but who have your opponents been in 2018? Like, let's seriously look at your opponents, because other than Napoli, I don't think you have serious competition going for you anyway. And it's a similar PSG like problem where.
So was it a case of a little bit of cockiness from Juventus thinking that they would be able to get the clean sheet?
I think they had too much confidence in their own self, because Chiellini and Benatia, the backline is a good backline, but you cannot sit back for 80 minutes of a game. You are bound to concede against any team if you sit back for 80 minutes of a game, and unless Arsenal are the ones trying to finish, you are generally bound to concede goals.
But this is the other North London team.
Correct.
So
I think it was silly, and this was Juve basically pulled off a second half Madrid in the finals against Spurs as well, where everything looked set for them to come and really kill this game off, but they sat back, they played really poor
and
after that.
We have not even mentioned that they missed a penalty.
Yeah, not even going there, like, irrespective of that, I think that was just one of the worst performances that Juve have put in a long, long time.
And what this does is this places this tie on a razor's edge as it goes.
I think Juve deserve
Wembley
to be knocked out on this merit, because I think, let's give credit to Spurs, because I did not expect Spurs to show so much character in a game like this where the pressure was all on them, and they could have easily gone and lost 5-0, but they fought, they did not lose shape, and they responded like a top club, which is something that we need to now start seeing consistently.
And that fitness factor came back.
Yep.
Pochettino has talked about it earlier.
Yep.
About the fact that they are now in that top physical form to
yep.
compete against the best.
Yep. And here's perspective, they have beaten United, Arsenal and drawn at Juve in the last 2 weeks, so perspective
a draw at Liverpool, so that's quite the run of fixtures.
Yep.
And they have completely emerged from there with their reputations enhanced. One last point, Vishal, so that Juve will be going to Wembley,
yep.
a place that Tottenham seem to have figured out now, which means this will be the tie to watch out for, but this also probably means Spurs are favourites.
See, on paper, Juve still have the better team, but now Juve have gone out and said, have made sure that they're in a situation where, that they have to like play out of their skin, because one thing you know about Spurs is that they're not a team to sit back and defend. Yep, so Spurs are definitely not going to be the team who's going to sit back and defend. They are going to try to outplay Juve again. And I think, Spurs are definite favourites to take this tie home and get that victory at Wembley.
And that could be quite the bonanza for English teams, but that would depend on what happens
to the
in the second set of knockout games that will see Manchester United travel to Sevilla and, of course, Chelsea take on Barcelona. Not to mention the other two ties with the Italian teams in action.
Yep.
This could shape out to be quite the quarterfinal lineup, Vishal.
Yep.
And we shall keep a track of that and the rest of the knockouts as we go along. It's a bit of a breather for the podcast finally, because we don't have any action till the...
He doesn't.
Till the Champions League ties roll around, because then, of course, Vishal, we are into the business end with United in action. And we shall see how that goes. We will bring you the review of that. In the meantime, you can go check our preview as well of those games that are still to come. That's up there. And you can find us on Audioboom. Our channel is Soccer Sense. Or you can find us on any other podcatcher that you use. Or contact us on Twitter at Sense Soccer. So that's about it for this week. This is Tariq signing off, along with Vishal.
Pray for United.
Yes, they did it in the first leg. Tricky first leg. Let's hope they make it two, and we have at least 4 out of 5 English teams going there. See you guys next week.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.